next year if I don't change. Let me just tell you, God's not going to come down and pour some honey over you and things just change automatically. It's like I preached a message years ago. I might need to dig that one back out. But the change isn't change until it's change. Right? You know, if you repent, everybody knows you can't repent and say you're sorry and not change, or else people just go, oh, gee, he's just blowing smoke again. Right? I mean, I'm sure all of us experience that person who gets caught and then all of a sudden they go, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. Well, honey, I believed you the first time, but it's been 6 months of you doing the same thing over and over and over. You're not sorry you did it, you're sorry you got caught, right? And so God wants to help us change. God wants to see us go forward, right? But if we're going to have something different in 2023, it has to start with us doing something different. I was thinking about this, you know, if you've been in church very long, the first of the year, it's like, you know, give me more in 2004, you know, you know, those kind of things that go on. And I'm thinking that it should be this year, should be less of me in 23. Right, less of me in 23. Help me to be less selfish. Help me to be, you know, less concerned about me and more concerned about others. Let me be more into what He wants than what I want. Amen? So less of me in 23. And Donnie was talking out of John about John the Baptist, and one of the lines that John used when they were talking, he said, listen, he must increase and I must decrease. You know, and that was of his ministry also, but it's us too. If we want more of God in our hearts and in our lives, then we've got to get us out of it. Right? It's my will, my way, my, you know, what I want, and it's not fair. They did this and they did that. Get all that out. Say, Lord, I'm just putting myself in your hands. Glory to God. Lesson me, 23. Hallelujah. Well, I told you, and I've been telling you for a few weeks now that I've got a series that I want to do on worship, and we're going to start that this morning. On worship. When you think about worship, you think, well, we're coming Sunday morning worship service. And it might be, and it might not be. Because a worship is more than singing songs. Worship is definitely much more than Sunday morning. In fact, if you're just worshiping on Sunday morning, you're not bringing much to the table. I'll say that over here. If you're not worshiping more than on Sunday morning, then you're not bringing much to the table. You know, the Bible, in the New Testament Bible, it's like when you come together, everybody have something. Everybody have something. It's not just come to hear the pastor speak. Oh, that's wonderful, I know. But it's not just that, right? It's like, Lord, give me a word for somebody. Let me pray for somebody. Put somebody on my heart, God. Help me to be used by you. But in order for that to happen, we've got to get out of the me first and put Him first, other second, right? So what is worship? I'm going to give you the Hebrew definition and then the Greek definition, and we'll look at some scripture. But worship in the Hebrew means to bow down, to prostrate oneself before a superior one. In homage, to bow down. It's to recognize the superiority of somebody else's position to worship. Now, in the next few weeks, we're going to find out that God requires our worship, but if we won't worship God, we will worship something. Now, many of us don't have, you know, Asherah poles at home or altars to other people at home. But we all have something, if we're not worshiping God, that we're worshiping. And it may be us. Some people worship their pain. Some people worship their kids, their pain. Some people worship so many different things. And what you do is you're bowing before it and you're talking about it. You're giving it lip service. You're always putting that out front where God deserves that place. In the Greek, it means, I love this, to kiss the hand. Kiss the hand as a token of reverence. To fall on the knees and touch the forehead on the ground. You're worshiping. You're worshiping. Can you do that in song? Absolutely you can. And I love the worship time. I don't ever get that twisted. I love the worship, but if we're just singing songs without our hearts bowed before the Lord in reverence, it's not worship. It's just singing a song. Right? But our job is to worship. It's not just our job. It's what we were created for. It's what we were created for. In the Garden of Eden, before the fall, worship was a natural thing to do, and they did it every time God showed up. Worship, to bow down, to say, God, you're first. Come on, you're first. I'm going to put you first. Hallelujah. And like I said, if we're not worshiping God, we're going to worship something else. Hallelujah. It can be your kids. It can be your job. It can be sports teams. It can be anything that you put before God is worship. And we're going to see in the next few weeks where that is such a mistake and it's so costly to do. Glory to God. Let's go to, first of all, let's go to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Years ago, now this has been years and years and years and years ago. It's not too long after the church started. I did a series on worship back then, and I had placards made up, worship first. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but worship first. And what does that mean? That means before you do anything else. Worship, before you worry, worship first. Before you go to work, worship first. Before you stress out, worship first. Before you go to the doctors, worship first. Before you go to the dentist, worship first. You know, before you want to get in a fight with your wife, worship first. Right? Worship first. And that means to bow down before Him. We're going to get more into that. But Psalm 95. It says this, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hands are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He has made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Worship means that we surrender everything to Him. Worship means we surrender everything to Him. What does that mean? Lord, if it costs me everything, that I'm going to worship You. If it costs me my life, if it costs me my job, if it costs me my money, if it costs me my house, I'm going to worship You first. I'm going to worship, and the worship of You is more important to me than anything else. Worship, worship. Now, it's interesting to me, if we want to look at the Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandments. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Glory to God. We're just going to get started today, and then we'll carry on. But I just want to lay a foundation that worship is necessary. And it's not necessary for God. God doesn't need your worship. He requires it, but He doesn't need it. He requires it because it's how you were designed to operate. Right? I've seen these videos on YouTube where people put different things in their gas tank to see how far it'll run. Like, I saw one guy putting Coca-Cola in his gas, and some putting other things to see just how far they would run, and they didn't run very far, and they didn't run very well. And the same is true with you. Without worship, you won't run very far, and you won't run very well. Come on, we got to worship first. Exodus chapter 20, and listen to this. I find this fascinating. Listen to the first five verses. And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God. Is that true? Does that apply to anybody in here? Right? Okay. You said it. I said, you said it. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Did he do that for anybody in here? If Egypt is sin and sin caused bondage or pain in your life, did he do that for you? He did it for me. I'll tell you that right now. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall worship no other gods. And we're going to find out in the next few weeks Israel's lifespan. It's just amazing to me. God would do something great for them and like deliver them out of some place, and they go, yay, God, we're going to serve you all of our lives. And then pretty soon they'd let something back in, and that something back in they begin to worship, and pretty soon they've got high places to other gods that are set up. And before we go any further, I'm just going to put this out there. I don't know if you know it, but right now there is more worship for other gods and old gods going on in the world than there's been in a very, very long time. Very long time. They just discovered, coincidentally, this is just so crazy, and I'm not going to get too far into this, but the doorway of the tomb of Zeus. And there are things going out there that people are calling, you know, for instance, the god of self, it's out there, and people are worshiping that, you know. And you know that in Ephesus, we have the book of Ephesians, it was a place of worship for the goddess Diana. And most of those places, the worship was toward this god, but it involved them doing lewd things in order to worship. Well, today it's happening. They may not use the same name, but it's out there and it's happening, right? And if we don't get an understanding that God is first and it's God that we're worshiping, it's God that we're bowing down to, it's not hard to give in to the worship of some of the other things in the subtle ways. And so what I'm trying to do this morning is to wake us up and say, wait a minute, Lord, I need you to examine my heart. Is there any place of my heart where I'm bowing down to something other than you? And if there is, help me to change that, because I want to fulfill what you're saying here. Again, now watch. Verse 4 says, you shall not make for yourself the carved image, any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or of the earth beneath, or that is in the weather, that's in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. See, if you're not worshiping God, then you're bowing to something else. And you're actually worshiping that whether you know it or not. And I find for me, the number one thing that I want to worship is me. Get into my feelings, get onto, you know, why is that working for me? Or what did they ever do for me? Or you know, putting myself first. And it's like, God, I need to come back to the place of worship. Come back to the place of worship in my life. Where I wake up in the morning and I say, Lord, what is it that you would want me to do? Lord, I want to worship you and I want to put you first place in my life. But worship costs you something. True worship for God costs you something. Ultimately, it costs you everything. But if you're not paying a price for your worship, then I would question your worship. The first thing it's going to cost you is time. Well, you know, Sunday morning, we got a long worship service. I mean, you know, it's an hour and a half long. That's nothing. How much worship are you doing on Monday? Tuesday? Come on. You say, well, I just don't have time. I'll bet you do. I'll bet that if you figured it out, you've got time every day that you go from point A to point B, whether it's to work or to school or to something, that you could shut the radio off, you could shut something off and just spend time worshiping God. Right? You have time, you just don't make time. I'm in the same boat. If I don't discipline myself to do it, I'll get out of the habit of doing it. But I want to watch, and I want you to go through these things with me and listen to this. And this is going to be a little odd maybe, but it'll tie together. Go to Daniel chapter 3. The book of Daniel in the third chapter. And remember that Israel was in captivity to Babylon, and they were all there, and you know, Daniel and the other boys got favor, you know, with the king, and he put them over certain things. But look at verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width was 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. There's a lot of images being set up today in our world. There's a lot of images being set up, and we have to determine whether we're going to go out and worship them or not, right? I'll get into that a little bit more. Verse 4 says, And the herald cried aloud, To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, and the symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, and the lyre, and the symphony, and all kinds of music, all the peoples and nations and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image and King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So here's the deal. This is the way society's going, so we're going to fall down and worship whatever society puts up there. Right? But not if God is who He said He is. Not if He is the Lord of all. Not, you know, and anything that He's said in His Word. See, you've got to come to the determination that this is His Word. Like it or not, agree with it or not, This is His Word. And you're going to have even theologians supposedly who come and try to twist the Word around for it to say something else to fit in so that you can bow before the idol that is set before you. But the Word is the Word is the Word. And we must worship the Word. Let me say that again. We must worship the Word. What does that mean? We must bow our will and our mind and our emotions and our money and everything to the Word of God. Right? Glory to God. We must, or else we're going to bow to something else. Peer pressure would have you bow to other things. Glory to God. I love everybody, but I don't agree with people who disagree with the Word of God. And it seems to me that we're becoming fewer and fewer in society that are totally sold out to the Word. Even in the church, there's all kinds of denominations that are saying, listen, yeah, you know, the Word, it's okay, but we need to be expanded beyond the Word. We've got new revelation that supersedes the Word. I'm telling you, there's an idol coming up. There's an idol coming up, and we have to be determined that even if I'm going into the fire, I'm not going to bow down before another idol. And you know the story that, you know, the three Hebrew children came and they wouldn't bow down. And it made the king mad. It made Nebuchadnezzar was ticked. What do you mean? Well, no. And he said, well, if you don't, you're going to be destroyed. He said, well, whether we're destroyed or not, our God's able to save us. But whether He does or not, we're not bowing down to you, because if we bow down to you, we can't truly bow down to Him. Right? And at the end of the day, you know the story, thrown into the fire, right? Thrown into the fire and nothing happened to them. You know the story, right? But the point is, we have to be people who decide that if I'm going to worship God, He alone am I going to worship, and I refuse to bow down to anything that society tells me to worship. Right? And if I'm coming in, I'm coming to worship God, and He deserves my very best. He deserves everything that He can receive. Look at chapter 6. And we'll go into this a little bit. There's so much more one could say. But go to chapter 6. And here's the new king, Darius. And verse 1 says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdoms 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, the satraps might give account to them, so the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because he was excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave him to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, that they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. He was in the midst of a heathen land, but God promoted him in his job, but he was doing his job to the best of his ability, and other people didn't like it. You know, not everybody's going to like it if God starts blessing you. Right? And they may set up traps for you. Society right now would say, well, you know, you can be a Christian, that's okay, but just don't push your views on us. In other words, don't even talk about your views. And if you talk about your views, we're going to consider that hate. And I just have to ask you, are you going to bow to that, or are you going to worship God? right? I don't go out of my way, and you know, like in my family, I don't go and even talk about my views, because the Bible says if you argue with a fool, you become one, right? And they know my views anyway. They don't really ask me my opinion all the time. If they ask me my opinion, I'll give it to them. And if God's putting me in a position to speak, I'll speak. I'm not afraid. And we can't be afraid of losing family or friends or loved ones or jobs or business because we worship God. Because if we put the job or business or family above God, then we're going to be worshiping them instead of God. Is this making sense to anybody? Hallelujah. Verse 5, it says, these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning of his God, the law of his God. Today, man, we're being set up. We're being set up. Let me just tell you of the story. A friend of mine, he's in Spokane, and he has a daycare center in his church. And I forget the kid's name, but little Johnny came into the church. Well, in a few weeks, that wasn't his name, but little Johnny came wearing dresses. And then pretty soon his mom came and said, he doesn't want to be called Johnny anymore. He wants to be called Josephine. And the pastor went to his lawyers and did all kinds of things and said, well, you know, he was registered as Joey. That's what we're just going to call him Joey. You know, we're not going to he, she, whatever. And if Joey needs to go to the bathroom, we're going to put him in the boys' bathroom and put him in that line. And we're just going to. And they did it very shrewdly and with the lawyer's assistant, but they refused to bow to the pressure of society. Do you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that you don't have compassion on him. And in this particular case, the pastor was talking to me. He said that boy was a boy, wanted to be a boy, but it was his mother that was trying to push this other agenda, right? So it's the world that we live in, but what I'm telling you, and the point of all of that is that we've got to determine to worship the God of the Bible and worship Him alone and not fall into the trap of compromising to placate other people. And that's where Daniel was right here. It's like, oh, we're setting him up. We're going to set him up. So now watch this, verse 6. It says, the governors and the satraps thronged before the king and said to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, administrators and satraps, counselors, advisors, have consulted to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except for you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish and decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persian, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. So watch this. Daniel stuck. All the Hebrew children who were under the law that said, worship the Lord thy God and Him only, right? They were stuck. Because if they didn't bow to Darius, if they didn't worship him, then the lion's den was the place. So he had a choice to make. Now, I like the way Daniel responded to this. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before God, as was his custom since the early days. First thing he did is he went home. But he didn't try to hide it. He opened the windows. When we were in Africa, it was really interesting. When we were in Africa, the Muslims there, they
worship like 3 or 4 or 5, I don't know how many times a day, but they have mosque all over the place. And they open the windows and they have everybody in Uganda, churches and everything, they have loudspeakers that rival concert halls, right? I mean, so when they do their prayers, it's heard all over the land. So I just get this picture of Daniel worshiping God from his bedroom, but not quietly. In the midst of this contradiction, in the midst of him, you know, society trying to put pressure on him to conform to their ways, and even if he was going to worship God and continue to worship God, do that in the closet and be quiet about it. No, he said, no, I'm not going to do that. But this worship would cost him. He knew the result of this worship would be the decree stated that he would have to be put into the lion's den. And even if the king didn't want to do it, he signed the paper, so he had to do it. And I'm not going to tell you that worshiping God in the midst of what you're going through and the pressure that other people are going to go is always going to turn out good for you. It might not. It might cost you your life. It might cost you your job. It might cost you many things. But the reality is we're either going to worship God or we're not. Are you with me? It's time for us to come back. And we've sang this song, we've sang it for years and years and years. But it's called The Heart of Worship. You know that song, and you've heard the story, but it bears repeating right here because I think it fits where my heart is in this series. This was a group that had, they started out worshiping God, and it was in England. And then they started getting record deals, and you know, just they became a big deal, a big band type of deal. And one day, the leader, the pastor, just got up and said, "There's something wrong. Something is not right. We've got all the sound equipment, and we've got the stage lighting, and we've got the smoke, we got the mirror, we got everything, but something is wrong." And he said, "We're going to shut all the instruments off. We're going to shut all the sound stuff down, all the lights down, and we're just going to sit down and begin to worship without any instruments at all." I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's easy for us as the worship team or you know, the congregation to be singing songs and not have our hearts in it. It's easy for us to get doubt and unbelief about who God is and put Him second, third, or fourth place and expect our worship to be what it's supposed to be, and the reality is it won't be. You see, you can't worship God. I'm not going to be careful at all. You can't worship God and cuss out your kids. You can't worship God and allow your mind to go to certain places. I'm not saying the thoughts won't come, but you must put down those thoughts. And if it costs you everything, right, you've got to come back to the place where God is first and His Word is first. And I'm going to worship Him with all of my heart or none of my heart. Right? I mean, sometimes I think God would say, either give it all to me or don't even bother. Isn't that what He said in Revelation? He said, I don't want you hot. You know, I don't want you lukewarm. I'd rather you're cold than lukewarm. But I want you red hot for me. And the way you become red hot is that you worship God continually. How do you worship God? With your mouth and with your life. I bow before you. I give you my heart. I give you my life. And in the morning, Lord, I give you this day. I give you this day, and we've gotten it. And I believe in the blessings of God, and I really truly believe that God wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing. I really believe that, you know, if we give, He'll give back unto us. But it's not the motive that we give. It's not the motive that we worship. It's not the, listen, if I really bless God, then He's going to bless me. Okay, that's fine, but I'm not blessing God to get the blessing back. I'm blessing God because He deserves the blessing. I'm worshiping God because He deserves my worship. Even if it makes me uncomfortable, even if it's something that costs me my relationships, my family, it costs me everything, I'm going to worship Him first. See, we're coming back to the heart of worship. And you know the story again, Daniel said, nope, not going to do it. They put him in the lion's den. The lions fell down and slept. Can you just imagine him cuddling with a lion? I don't have a pillow in here. Let me use... You look fluffy over here. Come on over here. I'm going to lay down on you and come on. And God was with him, right? Worship will bring God to you. True worship will bring God to you. What are you going through? What's going on in your life? If you need God in your life, worship Him and it'll... The Bible says, draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. You draw near to God with your worship. What is that? I worship you, Lord. I bow before you. And if you're in a place where you can do it, you know, I like to sit and pray. I like to lay in my bed and pray. I like to do all that. But there's a time for you to get on your knees before God. And just say, Lord, as I'm humbling myself before you, and just for me to recognize that I'm bowing my will and my heart and my life to you, I'm worshiping you today from the bottom of my heart. So there's a place for worship on your knees. And the older you get, the little harder it is to get back up from that, but it's still worth the effort of doing it. It's like this old couple was a couple of pastors' wives. This was years ago, and this the one pastor's wife was just complaining about how much pressure her husband was under and how hard ministry was and just how difficult and stressful it was and they were both sitting there and they were mending their pants, right? Where the pants had worn out, and the other pastor's wife was mending her husband's pants, and she said, well, you know, my husband's always at peace, and you know, it's not that we don't have stressful things going on, but God's just blessed him to be a very peaceful man. And what was the difference? The first pastor's wife was mending the seat of the pants of the first pastor. The second pastor's wife was mending the knees of the second pastor. It's kind of like we need to come back to putting God in its rightful place. He's the Lord. All right, I got 5 minutes and I may get this done, I may not. But go to Genesis chapter 22. Y'all getting something this morning? I'm telling you, if you can't be here for the next few weeks, I just encourage you to go online and watch or listen. But then again, this will not change you. No message that's ever preached, I don't care if it was the Apostle Paul coming in here to preach the message, none of it would change you unless you commit to change. Right? It's so true. I wish it were the other way. I wish I could just find an anointed friend that would come and he would lay his hands on me and I'd want to lose weight. Right? I really do. Or you know, I'd want to not do the things that I want to do that I'm not supposed to do. I wish that, but it doesn't work that way. We have to renew our own minds. And the way that we do that, and I think the best way is on the morning, say, Lord, I want to offer up those things that I shouldn't be eating to you today. And in my worship, I give that to you. Lord, I want to give up my lustful thoughts to you. And Lord, or my hatred, Lord, or my jealousy or my unforgiveness, Lord, I want to offer that to you. And I'm yielding myself. I want to be so revengeful right now, and I want to get in my way, and I want to make them pay so much, Lord. But I'm worshiping you, and because you said not to do it, Lord, I want to worship you with that. And I'm bowing my knee to that. Your will instead of mine. Chapter 22 of Genesis in verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Now take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." What? What? But God's a loving God. I believe that God can put us all in positions where He'll ask us to give up the very thing that we cherish the most. This was Isaac, the promise, the one he'd waited 100 years for. Right? Worship costs you something. He said, "I want you to worship me with your best. I want you to worship me with the promise." Come on, watch this again. So good. So Abraham, verse 3, rose early in the morning and saddled the donkey and took two of his men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. See, he didn't wait a long time. When God tells you something and you know it's God, if you're going to do it, do it. But do it quickly and don't let people or yourself or your feelings talk you out of it. Right? Lord, I'm just going to bless that person. Lord, I feel it's on my heart. You want me to give them $100. You better get that money out of your wallet and get it to them as quickly as you can, because if you don't, he's going to make you mad again. You're going to put that thing right back away. Right? All I'm saying is that worship costs something. Verse 4 says that on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." Did you know that this is the first place in the Bible where the word worship is mentioned? There are other instances where worship, I think, is performed, but this is the first place that it's mentioned. He says, "I'm going to go and I'm going to bow my will and my knee to what God asks of me, even though it costs me my son." Right? We're going to go and we're going to worship. Now, we're going to see in the story that in his heart, he knew that God would provide the lamb, but he was going to be obedient. See, obedience and worship are hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. You can't have worship and not have obedience. You can't be worshiping God and stay in your feelings. You can't be in worship and remain a victim. You can't stay in worship and not do the things that God has put on your heart to do. Right? Come on. And watch this. It may be different for you than it is for me. There may be things that I want to do, but I can't do because God has required that I not do them. But they might be all right for you. My worship is not dependent on you. It's dependent on my relationship with Him. Right? So what is God speaking to you? And are you going to worship Him out of obedience? Or are you going to make excuses to continue doing what you're not supposed to be doing? It would have been really easy for Abraham to say, "You know, that's cool, God. I'll take me a goat or something, but I'm not putting my son on there." But God said, I'm requiring this price of you in order for you to worship me. Did you know that when you got saved, He required something of you? You say, oh no, I'm saved by grace. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. But He required that you say that Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? That you're no longer Lord. That you have to bow or submit yourself to the need of somebody to make you righteous. You have to bow yourself. You had to say, Jesus is my Lord. Therefore, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live unto faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. In other words, I died when Jesus became Lord of my life. But that old man can rise back up and you go from your place of worship in God to worshiping yourself or others. And God is saying, I want you to come back to the place of worship of me, even if it costs you everything. You know the story. Again, I'm not going to read the whole thing because you know the story that he went up and they built. But this cracks me up a little bit. They're building the altar and getting things ready. And so Isaac's just up there helping. Yeah, Dad, what can I do now? And Isaac was not a little boy. He was probably in his teenage years. He's probably 15, you know, 14, 13, 15, somewhere in that range. So he's helping build the altar, stack the wood up there. Dad, just curious. Where's the offering? And Abraham says, don't worry, son. The Lord will provide the lamb. But the conversation of, come here, boy. Come here. Give me your hands. I'm going to tie those up. Give me your legs. I'm going to tie those up. I'm going to lift you up on there. Can you think of Isaac? Well, when I'm telling you this, I'm thinking of my own son. Could I do that to my own son? You see, this is the first place that worship was mentioned, but worship cost him his prized possession. There you go. There you go. And the Lord let it get to the point where he had the knife raised up over his son and ready to slay his son. And he said, no, no, stop. Stop. And there's a ram in the thicket. What am I saying? Your worship could cost you everything that you hold dear. But at the end, God will provide something that's better. Amen. But even if it costs you your life. One story, then I'll close. You remember, did you ever see the movie, The Point of the Spear? Did you ever see that? Terry, you saw that? Yeah. Well, it was the missionaries down in, they were down in Africa, and they flew planes in, right? And there was this tribe that they were going to that had never heard the word before, right? And so they went down there to present the gospel to them, and it got into a situation where they had guns and stuff strapped to them, and they had ways of defending themselves. But here came this tribe, and in this tribe, they went and they came up to them, and they had the spears, and they wanted to destroy them, and they in fact did kill them. But the man that was leading that said, listen, if we die, we go to heaven. But they don't know Jesus if they die, which they could have killed them. If they die, they're going to go to hell. So worship for them was as we're laying our lives down for these people. Wow. Wow. The rest of the story is that the whole tribe got saved after that. I mean, watch the movie because I'm not doing it justice. But the point of the thing is that we have to be willing in our worship to be obedient to the point of giving our very best, or else it's not really worth Him. Amen? Did y'all get something this morning? Come back next week and we'll carry this on, because there's many things. Again, God's put some things in strong in my heart that we have to get back to not only physically and verbally worshiping Him on a consistent basis, but we have to worship Him with our lives, with our will, with everything. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this opportunity. Lord, I thank You for all those that are watching online. Lord, I just ask You to speak to them. I thank You, Lord, that the same anointing, the same sense of You speaking this morning that I'm sensing here is with them. And Lord, I ask You to touch them and to put in their hearts the place of worship that You deserve. If they've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you haven't, you can. Just give your heart to Him. Just say, Father, I need a Savior. The Bible says in Romans that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. But that means giving yourself completely to Him in Jesus' name. So, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just surrender ourselves to You. Those at home, those here, we surrender our lives to You. We want to worship You. Father, we worship You right now. We just worship You right now. Without music, without song, without somebody else putting words in our mouth, we just want to give You the honor and the glory and the ascribe to You the adoration that You alone deserve, God. We yield ourselves to You today, Lord, and as You're speaking to us, as You've been speaking to us about certain things individually, Lord, we offer that to You right now. And as we go into this year, Lord, we just ask that You would remind us of the importance of our worship. And we just give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Father, for all those listening online, I just pray that You would touch them. If they need healing in their bodies right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare that by His stripes You were healed 2,000 years ago. Just receive it in Jesus' name. God, I help them pay their bills. Father, Lord, we're just believing for kids to return to You. Lord, we're believing for big things in You, Lord. We just love You. God bless You. Thank You for joining us in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen.